Like Adair, Evans, really, all of our missionaries are a little like superheroes. If you think about their lives, they, for the sake of the gospel and the love of people, they go put themselves in some difficult spots. Most of them, I think, have to learn another language. All of them have to go live in a culture that's foreign and learn that. They go to try to help establish churches, help churches have resources, like in theological training and education. Some go to do medical missions and say, we're going to meet the needs in the name of Christ. And so, you know, missionaries go to say, hey, we're going to go to our arts culture using arts to reach people. They look for any avenue in to say, how can we help people come to hear about the Lord Jesus and expect the Holy Spirit to build his church among every nation, tribe, language, and people group? Now, if you've got all those things to worry about and you've got to raise money, it's a pretty taxing job, so it really helps if you have people at home who are saying, we're going to do all we can to make sure you have all the resources you need. And from the beginning of this denomination, we wanted to say, let's do that, and we have an agency to help with that mission to the world. It's a big job. And today, we have with us the coordinator of Mission to the World, the guy who kind of says, I'll do what it takes to make sure our missionaries have what they need. I'm very thankful for Dr. Lloyd Kim, for the work that he's doing on our behalf and for our missionaries. It's a tough job. It's kind of a target for people who are like, oh, I don't know if I like all that's going on. And he does it serving because he loves our missionaries. He himself is a missionary and a pastor, and I think kind of for all of those, his calling is to be a minister of the Word of God. And so, God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Dr. Kim's going to help us with that today.
Good morning. Such a joy to be with you here this morning to open up God's Word. If you're able, can I invite you to stand as we hear God's Word read in our presence? The passage comes from Matthew chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 5 through 10. It is a familiar passage, the first half of the Lord's Prayer. Let's now give ear to the reading of God's very own word. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the word of God. Please be seated. Let's ask for the Lord's help and strength now as we pray together. Father, just ask that you would lead us now as we reflect on these words that you have spoken to us. Help me, Father, by your Spirit, to speak the message you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We were doing our family devotions one morning when our kids were little. As was our custom, it was my turn to pray the Lord's Prayer. And I thought very specifically that night, don't just rush through it from memory. Your kids are watching. Make sure that you think deeply about what you're saying. And so I began praying the Lord's Prayer. It was kind of late at night, and there was a pause. I forgot the next line. Of course, I had to rush back through it from memory, and when I finally said amen, the kids had a field day with me. Good job, pastor. Missionary, don't even know the Lord's Prayer. I've always thought it ironic that Jesus teaches us not to pray repetitiously or mindlessly. gives us this example prayer, which we often pray very repetitiously, mindlessly. So this morning, we're going to slow down. We're going to meditate. We're going to reflect and think through at least the first half of this very familiar prayer. As we read, our passage comes in the context of Jesus' teaching on prayer. And after teaching his disciples how not to pray, well, he gives us this example prayer. What is presupposed in this prayer is a completely different way of looking at our life and our relationship with God. You see, Jesus, he doesn't want us simply to utter these words mindlessly, but he wants us to adopt the worldview, the kingdom values, the kingdom perspective that this prayer assumes. And it's this perspective that actually gives us our sense of purpose in life, gives us direction in life, and helps us to make sense of our collective call to global missions. So this morning, we will be looking at the first three phrases of this prayer. The first is the opening address, Our Father. The second is that petition, hallowed be your name, and finally, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How's that sound? All right, let's begin. So, what is the first thing that we pray? Our Father. What is presupposed is that we have a relationship with God as our Father. Jesus, he was speaking against hypocrites, those who prayed in order to be seen by men. What was their problem? They didn't have a genuine relationship with God as their Father. They were just pretending. Even though they were religious, probably very religious, the religion didn't go beyond their, well, cultural practices. They were just acting as if they knew God as Father. So what we must recognize before anything else is the fact that we cannot engage in any meaningful way in missions, for that matter, have any lasting peace or joy in our lives, unless we know God as our Father. If you think about it, much of our striving in life is really a striving to reconnect with the one who made us. And so this prayer assumes, this petition that we pray so often assumes that we have a genuine relationship with God. But maybe there are some here who've come this morning who quite honestly feel far from him. I grew up in a small town in California, and there was a church on every block. I know it's hard to believe it's California, but it was actually in the book of the Guinness Book of World Records as having the most churches per capita in the United States at the time. I was on the wrestling team at a public high school, and before our matches, we would all gather on the mat and we would pray at a public high school. But the prayer was often, God help protect us and watch over us, but would inevitably end with, and Lord, help us to kick their beep, amen. You see, everybody in that little town was a Christian, but not many were really Christians. If you were to ask me during that time, if I was a Christian, I would say absolutely, everyone's a Christian. The truth is, I really didn't know God as my Father. Just went to church because my parents made me go to church. How about you? You know, having a genuine relationship with God as our Father is different from growing up in the church. It's different from knowing all the right answers. It's different from even faithfully serving the church. Having an authentic relationship with God as Father is only possible when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, into our hearts, and changes us from the inside out. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Spirit convicts us of our sins. The Spirit leads us to repentance and faith. The Spirit opens our eyes and our hearts to understand the Bible. All of a sudden, the Bible starts to make sense. The Spirit fills us with its fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Apostle Paul actually tells us it's by the Holy Spirit that we're able to cry out to God, Abba, Father. So can I ask you this morning, are you in a right relationship with God as your Father? All of our prayers, all of our religion is actually worthless if we don't have a genuine relationship with God. And so if you come this morning and you feel far from Him, can I invite you to come? Don't wait another day. Don't wait another minute. Call upon God. Call upon His name. Call upon the one who forgives our sins and loves us, takes away our shame. Can He invite us to believe in the gospel promises for us? God is real, and He calls us to come to Him through His Son, Jesus, that we might know Him as our Abba, Father. So that was the first petition. Let's move on to the second, hallowed be your name. The second phrase, what does it assume? It assumes that our life purpose is to hallow God's name. It's easy for us, however, to think that our life purpose is to hallow our name. But here, as we pray this petition, we realize it's not about our glory, it's not about our reputation, but it's about His. The Pharisees and scribes prayed in order to be seen by men. What does this mean? It means they are more concerned about their own name, their own reputation. They wanted others to speak well of them, to hallow their name. Jesus, He tells us that our orientation in life as the children of God is to hallow not our name, but to hallow God's name. Another way to say it is that we exist to honor, to glorify, to build up the name of our God rather than our own. Let's be honest, it's a lot easier than it sounds, isn't it? A large, well-known church asked me to be the main speaker at their annual missions conference. They had been advertising it for weeks. They had my name and my picture in their bulletin on the website, and so when I came, I was feeling pretty good about myself. I came to the church, and they warmly welcomed me and introduced me to some members, and one of the members asked me, "Didn't you preach at our church before?" I had not. And then she asked me, "Is your name Lim?" I said, "No, my name's Lloyd." And the more she asked me, the more I realized she thought I was somebody else. It was a case of mistaken identity and a blow to my pride. The thought did cross my mind to go along with the confusion in case my sermon bombed. But I also realized how much I cared that people knew my name. Jesus, He teaches us to pray, hallowed be your name, speaking to God, our Father. I think it's quite easy for us to live out the prayer, hallowed be my name. But this prayer is more than giving us a God-centered orientation in life, which it does. It also has a mission's thrust. Did you catch it? What are we asking for? We're asking that God would make His name hallowed. The reason that we send missionaries, the reason that we support missionaries, the reason that we go as missionaries is because the nations are not yet hallowing the name of our God. And so we pray that all those who don't know the name of our God from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation would come to know Him as Father, as Abba, and would hallow His name. That is the second petition. We'll move on to the third, and that is, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. What would be the opposite? That's right, my kingdom come. My will be done. That's what Jesus was speaking against when He criticized those who would pray repetitiously, thinking they would be heard for their many words. What are these people trying to do? They're trying to manipulate God. They're trying to get God to accomplish their will, to help build their kingdom. Think about our own prayers. How often do we ask God for things that help build our kingdom, accomplish our will. Our Lord wants us to orient our life away from our own personal agenda, our own personal kingdom, towards His agenda. What is His agenda? It's His kingdom. It's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple. But you see, as we pray this prayer, we are praying for more than our own personal submission to Jesus as King, which is part of this. We're actually praying also for His kingdom of glory to fill the earth. Let Your kingdom come. We're praying that God's rule and reign would extend to all of His creation. It's not just a prayer for the second coming, which we certainly desire, but it's a prayer for the power and presence of God to be known here on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe you're asking, well, what does His kingdom look like? In any kingdom, you need a king. We have a king. His name's Jesus. In any kingdom, you need citizens. And when someone repents and believes and submits themselves to King Jesus, the kingdom of God advances. And when His church live out the ethics of the kingdom, God's kingdom is here on earth as it is in heaven. When those from every tribe, tongue, and nation worship the Father, the kingdom of God has come. This is God's agenda for the world. It's what He wants to see. We need to ask ourselves this morning, are we aligned with God's will for the nations? We had the privilege of serving as missionaries in Cambodia for about 7 years. Early on, we invited one of our national partners. He was a church planter. His name was Pastor Narn. To dinner. We went out to dinner to a very famous Chinese restaurant in the city, and it was beautiful. We enjoyed our meal. As we were finishing up, the waiter came over, and he asked us, "Are you Christians?" We were shocked. Cambodia is about 95% Buddhist, by some measures less than 2% evangelical Christian, and so we said, "Yes, we are." He said, "Great, Christians get a 10% discount." And I said, "This is amazing." And I saw Pastor Narn, he was just smiling. I said, "Why are you smiling?" He goes, "Oh, I know about the discount." And I said, "How do you know about the discount?" He goes, "I know the owner." I go, "How do you know the owner?" He goes, "Well, a few years ago, I met him and I shared the gospel with him and led him to faith in Jesus Christ." I said, "Praise God. There are real advances to kingdom growth, 10% off our bill." Why wouldn't we want to see the kingdom of God advance? And so what are we praying? We are praying that God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. What's it like in heaven? Heaven, there's no tears. There's no sorrow. There's no sickness. There's no injustice. There's no corruption. There's no abuse. There's no brokenness. There's no sin. There's no death. What are we praying? We're praying that Satan's kingdom would be destroyed. We're praying that the gospel would go throughout the world and that His church would advance. We're praying that Christ's reign would extend to every inch of God's creation. Jesus teaches us to pray this way because this is how He prayed. Jesus prays, "Our Father," considers us His brothers and His sisters. Jesus prays, "Hallowed be Your name," when His own name was mocked and ridiculed. Jesus prays, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done," and then submits to the Father by establishing the kingdom. Do you remember how Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed that the Father would take the bitter cup of the cross away from Him. Yet He ended His prayer with resolution, "Yet not my will be done, but Yours." And so what did it mean for Jesus to pray this prayer? It meant that He would willingly give, willingly sacrifice, willingly suffer, and submit to the pain of the cross. Jesus gave up everything for the kingdom. He gave up everything for us. So what then are the implications of this kingdom prayer? The implications are that out of gratitude for God's lavish love for us through his Son, that we would live wholeheartedly for the kingdom, for our King, that we would submit to him, that we would seek to advance his will, his kingdom, his name above all else. This is where missions comes in. Our King's Great Commission mandate to go and make disciples of all nations is the means by which the kingdom of God advances. And so if we want to align our will to God's will, we need to take serious this mission that our King gives us in sending, supporting, and going to the nations. Every dollar that is given, every prayer that is lifted up, every person or project sent or supported for missions testifies that the kingdom of God is, it makes no sense to the world. Think about it. Declares to the world that we have a living King and we joyfully and eagerly submit to his will, that he rules both heaven and earth. Engaging in global missions bears witness that the kingdom of God has come. And that's where our hearts and treasures are, in his kingdom. So, beloved, here's the thing. God, he hears these kingdom prayers of ours. He may, in fact, be answering these prayers through you. So can I ask you, how is our Father calling you to engage in his mission? Is he calling you to give? Well, then, beloved, give generously. Is he calling you to pray? Well, then, beloved, pray faithfully. Is he calling you to go? Then go humbly, confidently in his promises for us. What should be the prayer of our hearts? May our collective prayer be that the nations would call upon God as Father. They would hallow his name, and that the kingdom of God would come, and that his will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Father, we thank you for these familiar words. We pray that we would understand them afresh, so as we continue to pray this prayer, you would remind us of the perspective, the values, the kingdom mission that you have called us to. Bless this expression of your body to this end, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.